SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Os portugueses na Austrália têm uma história fascinante e para celebrar o Dia de Portugal, o National Archives of Australia vai apresentar registros do acervo de arquivos relacionados às histórias da migração portuguesa. A apresentação acontece nesta segunda-feira, 10 de junho, Dia de Portugal, na sede do National Archives, que fica em Cannon Hill, em Brisbane. O evento, que vai das 9h30 às 11h30 da manhã, também incluirá dicas sobre como podemos encontrar registros sobre as nossas famílias e árvore genealógica. Eu sou Luciana Fráguas e converso agora com o Patrick Ferry, que pesquisou e é o apresentador do evento. A entrevista será em inglês. O Patrick conversa comigo agora sobre essa colaboração que foi feita junto ao Consulado de Portugal em Queensland. Patrick, welcome to SBS Portuguese. Pleasure to have you here.
Pleasure to be with you today.
Can you tell us more about the event and a bit about the fascinating history of the Portuguese people in Australia?
Absolutely. So the public event that we're having to coincide with Portugal Day in Brisbane on Monday will look at the history of Portuguese migration to Australia. And whilst the Portuguese were relatively small in numbers in Australia, there are some very, very interesting and rich stories there that we will share with the community on the day. We'll look at stories about Portuguese migrants who came to Australia, for example, during the Second World War as refugees from Timor, and how they were treated and in many cases actually put in internment camps, even though Portugal was neutral during the war. We'll also look at stories about a group of Madeira fishermen, for example, who migrated to Western Australia after the Second World War and established the crayfishing industry there. Also look at how Portuguese who were of non-European background, how they were treated during the White Australia policy.
And you did all this research for this exhibition. Do you have any connections with Portugal yourself?
Personally, yes. My partner is from Macau. And so she is a Portuguese citizen, as are my children. And I suppose in some respects it was through my partner who grew up in Macau while the Portuguese were still there that I became interested in the history of Portugal in the region. And it's quite interesting because, you know, where Australia is located, there were significant Portuguese areas of Portuguese influence around Australia. So, you know, there was Macau in southern China, there was Timor, which is obviously much closer, but also Goa in India. And when you look at the early days of Portuguese migration to Australia, there were more Portuguese from places like Goa and Timor in Australia than actually Portugal itself. In the early days, of course, Australia was not particularly receptive to Southern European migration. Southern Europeans, there was a lot of racial prejudices and stereotypes. And of course, if you were Portuguese from somewhere like Goa or Timor, you often were not entirely European. And so the White Australia policy also operated to prevent you coming to Australia.
Does this event will have, are you showing images, documents? Is there any visual element to the talk?
Yes, so throughout the presentation, we'll be showing highlights from the collection, particular documents that have a resonance, for example, with the Portuguese from Timor that were intern during the Second World War, we will reproduce in the presentation some of the letters that they wrote to their consul, trying to appeal to be released from internment and what their feelings were about being interned in Australia, even though in Timor they'd actually helped the Australian army, you know, there. But once they got to Australia, they were perceived to know too much about Australia's operations there, and they were interned. So we allow, through the documents, for example, their own words to come through. Similarly, we've got some of the case studies. We'll show you the photographs from individuals' files and things like that.
That's fascinating. And will you be touching in a topic that is talked about here in Australia within the Portuguese community, that the Portuguese may have arrived before Captain Cook and may have discovered Australia?
Look, I do touch on it in the presentation. I'm actually located in Victoria, and in southwestern Victoria, there's a memorial at a place called Warrnambool, a very classically Portuguese memorial of the Cruzado and the shield erected in that town, because the legends were always that there was a mahogany ship, potentially a Portuguese caravel, had been discovered in the 19th century there, that may have, you know, been wrecked there many centuries earlier. So whilst we can't conclusively prove that the Portuguese were here first, certainly there are communities and areas of Australia that have a very strong belief that it may have happened.
Your event will also include some tips and tricks on how to find records about people's families. What type of information do we need to find from ourselves to find some of these records? Family names from our great-great-grandparents. So what are your tips?
So a couple of things. So first of all, we have an online database called Record Search, which is a digital catalogue of our collection. You can use keyword searches in that by using names. So for instance, if your parents migrated to Australia, you could try some searches at home to see what you find. We have a passenger arrival index as part of that, that indexes ships' passage arrivals that arrived in Fremantle. So most people coming from Europe stopped in Fremantle, and you may find that as a first point of call. We then have a number of other types of records for Portuguese migrants. We have what's called an alien registration, because they weren't British subjects. They had to register with the police after they arrived in Australia. And we've also, if they became naturalized citizens, we may have an immigration case file. But if you can't find your family using their names in our database, doesn't mean we don't have the records. We've only got about 40% of our collection is indexed. So you can also submit a reference inquiry online through our website. You just ask us about the collection. And what we really need are names, dates of birth, where they came from, which city they arrived in, if you know that. And ideally, if you know the name of the ship or the flight, but we can then do some searches for you.
Is there a possibility of this seminar becoming a traveling event?
We've done that with other seminars like this. So with the Maltese community, for example, we've partnered with the community to present seminars for them in Melbourne and in Sydney and in Brisbane. So certainly it's a possibility, you know, because the research has been done. The research, the presentation's there, and it can be obviously, there are stories within this presentation from different parts of Australia. As I mentioned, the migration of the Madeira fishermen in the 50s to Perth. Well, that's in the presentation. It's got relevance to Perth. There's Queensland material. There's material from Victoria. So, yeah, it's the sort of presentation that could be presented to Portuguese communities elsewhere in the country. We couldn't forget our Darwin Portuguese community as well. very strong one up there as well.
Fantastic. Patrick Ferry from National Archives of Australia. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.